Okay, so this is session 7 in the book of Jeremiah. For those of you listening online, yes, the battery went dead, and all the really inspired things happened afterwards. I'm sorry you weren't here. We finished most of chapter 6, including Kat's scripture, which we think she slept through when we were there. verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand in the roads and look, ask for the ancient paths where the way is good and walk in it. Then you'll find rest for your souls. But they said, we won't walk in it. So I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet or the shofar. But they said, we won't listen. Therefore hear, O nations, and observe, O congregation, what is against them. Hear, O earth, see I will bring disaster on this people, fruit of their schemes. Or did they not listen to my words and reject? For they did not listen to my words and rejected my Torah or my instruction. Of what use to me is frankincense coming from Sheba or sweet cane from a distant country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor are your sacrifices pleasing to me. Therefore, thus says the Lord, look, I am laying before this people stumbling blocks, and against them they will stumble, father and son together, a neighbor and his friend, and they will perish. So how does that apply to us? I mean, we're under grace, right? Doesn't really matter what we do, right?
Well, if we want to
anyone
receive God's blessings, we need to walk in his paths.
So God gives us instruction on how to live. Let's assume eternal security as a doctrine is true, which by that I mean once saved, always saved, and it doesn't matter what you do once you've asked Jesus in your heart, which I am not a proponent of that. I mean, I'm a proponent of it. I think that would be a great doctrine, but I'm not convinced that that's what the Bible teaches. But let's say it did. So if God says, listen, I'm set the ancient path for you. Walk in the way that's good. And then you don't walk in it, what happens? You get the consequences of not walking in the good path. Even if it doesn't have an eternal consequence, you get a crappy life because you did something stupid. If you walk in front of a car, you still get hit. Right? If you eat the wrong foods and you don't exercise, you get fat and high blood pressure and cholesterol or diabetes or whatever, and your lifestyle deteriorates. You may not die until the appointed day that God said you're going to die, but you can certainly affect your lifestyle. But what if eternal security, as it's been portrayed in the 20th century and 21st century, is not accurate?
And there'll be a lot of people surprised.
And we got a lot of Bible for that.
A whole lot.
Yeah.
You know, try reading the Gospel of Matthew, for example. Jesus is a scary fella. Nobody speaks about hell more than he does. What about the parable of the virgins? They're virgins. They're pure before God. But five of them didn't have oil, and when the bridegroom came, they were on the outside. I'm not trying to scare people. All I'm saying is that there's nobody in the Bible that teaches you, once you've asked Jesus in your heart, don't worry about it. That is not a doctrine that exists in the Bible. It's a man-made doctrine. And if they're right, that's great. But do you want to depend on a man's opinion? I personally don't. Not with eternity.
Mine's bad enough.
My opinion's bad enough. I don't need. So if we're going to build ourselves on what the Scripture says, the Scripture and the New Testament especially, those guys are continually saying, press on, press on. Learn how to please God. Allow God to stroke your heart and to deal with the various things in your life. I think it's the same thing that God is saying to the people here in chapter 6 of Jeremiah. Listen, I show you the good path to walk in, but you say you won't walk in it. I sound a trumpet, to warn you. And you say, we're not going to listen. There's consequences. God wants to have a relationship with mankind. He especially wants to have a relationship with those of you that have called upon his name. But he wants you to respond. Oh, when you don't respond, he doesn't just toss you out of the family. He disciplines you. But if you continually reject the discipline and correction of God, you could find yourself walking off the end of a cliff. Now, people get offended by that and they go and choose a different congregation to hang out with because they don't want to hear those messages. Well, I can tell you, for me, I don't want to be one of the shepherds that Isaiah speaks of. The shepherds of Israel, they're dumb dogs that don't bark. So I'm barking. Woof. Chapter 6, verse 22. Thus says the Lord, look, a people coming from a northern land, a great nation roused from the ends of the earth. They're armed with bow and spear, cruel and with no compassion. They sound like the roaring sea as they ride on horses, as men in battle formation against you, daughter of Zion. We have heard of their fame. Our hands hang limp. Anguish has gripped us, pain like a woman in labor. Don't go out into the field or walk in the on the road. Since the enemy has a sword, there's terror on every side. Daughter of my people, put on sackcloth and roll in ashes. Mourn as for an only son with bitter lamentation, for suddenly the destroyer will come on us. Now the Lord is actually going to speak to Jeremiah, and he says, I've made you a metal tester among my people, so you may observe and test their way. They are all stubborn rebels, spreading slander. They are bronze and iron. All of them are corrupt. The bellows blows fiercely, blasting away the lead with fire. The refining is completely in vain, for the wicked are not drawn off. They are called cast-off silver, for the Lord has cast them off. I believe, if you go back 2 weeks, because we didn't meet last week because of weather, we were talking about judgment beginning in the house of God. And I believe that this is a very pertinent word for us right now. God wants to judge his people so that they, or he wants his people really to judge themselves so that they don't have to come under his judgment. But before God judges the world, he's going to judge his people and make them right. So when he shows us the good path, when he sounds the trumpet, when he raises the heat as a metal tester, we have to respond and allow the wickedness, the impurities. Maybe it's not wickedness, maybe it's just impurity, to be drawn off of us so that we become Christ-like. That the image of the Son is formed within our lives. So when we stand before the Lord, he actually sees Jesus. That's the model, and that's the goal. That's the purpose of the discipline of God. Okay, on chapter 6? Chapter 7. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of Adonai's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you of Judah, that come through the gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, mend your ways and your deeds, and I will let you live in this place. Is there a difference between your ways and your deeds? You know, there's a scripture that says he revealed his deeds to the children of Israel, but his ways to Moses. Is that different? What's the difference? Well, what are your deeds?
Your actions.
Your actions. Well, so, like, what are the deeds of God? Israel knew the deeds of God. He did things. He created heavens and the earth. He, you know, he split rocks. He split the Red Sea. Right? But Moses knew his ways. So, somebody's ways is how they go about it. So, like, for example, Isaac is learning the ways of his father. Not just the deeds of his father. And he's getting to know the ways of his father so he can look at his father's face and see the expression on his face, and he has a real good idea of what his father's going to do. Right, Isaac? In order to know someone's ways, you have to get close to them. So knowing the deeds of God is like reading about them in a book. But knowing the ways of God, you've got to get intimate and personal. You might read in a book, God eats breakfast. But if you want to know what he has for breakfast, if you want to know how many does he take cream and sugar in his coffee, you're going to hang out in the kitchen with God. You're going to have to hang out in a close, intimate way. So God is telling these people not only to mend their deeds, the things that they do, but also how they do it, which goes to the motivation of the heart. Because you could do the right thing for the wrong reason, right? Like Jesus rebuking, don't be like the Pharisees, who when they give to the poor, they sound a trumpet. Everybody, look, I'm giving Isaac a nickel. Poor Isaac needs a nickel.
He's still poor.
He's still poor with a nickel. But the Lord said, do it in secret. And your father who sees in secret will reward you. Because the motivation for doing it publicly was so that you would get the praise of men. And in that scripture, Jesus says, and truly I say to you, they've already gotten their reward in full. So, mend your ways and your deeds, not just the things you do, but how you do them. And I'll let you live in this place. Do not trust in deceptive words saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. Look at this beautiful building. God must surely be here. Look at our jumbo screen. Our beautiful property. I just feel the Spirit of God when I drive up the driveway to our beautiful church building. Don't trust in the temple of the Lord. No, if you truly mend your ways and your deeds, if you are doing justice between a man and his neighbor, not oppressing the sojourner, orphan, the widow, or shedding innocent blood in this place, nor going after other gods to your own ruin, then I will let you dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Look, you're trusting in deceptive words that are empty. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery and perjury, and offer incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house that bears my name, saying, we are saved! Will you live however the hell you want, and then go to church on Sunday and say we're saved? Will you have whatever kind of lifestyle you want and think God doesn't know, but when you have a public face, appear a different way? Then you come before me in this house that bears my name, saying, we are saved, so that you may keep on doing all these abominations. Now listen, I don't, you know, as you well know, I hang out here in Cowie Valley with you people. I don't have intimate knowledge of what's going on in this congregation or that congregation or some other congregation, so I'm not lambasting anybody in particular. But we all know that that is going on in the body of Christ, that there are tons of people who claim to be believers, and they have two different lifestyles. They have their church lifestyle, and then they have the rest of their lifestyle. I do have contact with some of them who claim to be believers and know how they function in business. I try to be what I am in all different locations, that the life of Christ is reflected in my business and in all other aspects of my life. Has this house which bears my name become a den of robbers? Who said that?
Jesus.
Guess he was quoting Jeremiah, huh? Or maybe Jeremiah was quoting Jesus before Jesus was born, because he was from before the foundations of the earth. Has this house which bears my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Look, even I have seen it. It's a declaration of the Lord. Indeed, go now to my place that was in Shiloh. Where's Shiloh? It's in Ephraim. Now, remember the separation of the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Okay, Shiloh is actually where the ark rested before it was brought up to Jerusalem. So worship happened in Ephraim before it ever got into David, even before it got into Judah. Okay, so indeed, go to the place that was in Shiloh, where I first made my name dwell. Now see what I did to it because of the wickedness of my people Israel. While you were doing all these things, declares the Lord, I spoke to you early and often, but you did not listen. And I called to you, but you did not answer. Therefore I will do to the house that bears my name, the one in which you trust, the one that I gave to you and your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight, just as I cast out your brothers, the offspring of Ephraim. Remember, Israel has already been scattered amongst the nations. This is Judah and Benjamin that are left. The Assyrians have already carried them off, some scattered to Egypt, some to wherever. And now Jeremiah is prophesying to the southern kingdom, because the northern kingdom's gone. As for you, do not pray for this people. He's talking to Jeremiah again. Do not offer any supplication or petition for them, nor entreat me, because I will not hear you. Do you not see what they're doing in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, the fathers light the fire, and the women knead the dough to make sacrificial cakes to the Queen of Heaven. Who's the Queen of Heaven? That's what the Catholics say. But if your history knows anything about the Queen of Heaven, depending on where you are geographically, she's either Ishtar or what?
Isis.
Or Isis, yeah, basically. And you know how they worshipped her?
Yeah.
Basically sexual orgies. Unholy lifestyles. And here, God's saying, don't even pray for these people. It's a whole family affair. We've got the kids involved. The children going out getting sticks. The father's building the fire and mom's making a cake. And we're going to sacrifice to this false god. The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. How many believers do you know who have totally deviant lifestyles? And I don't want an answer to that question, okay? But there are people who on one hand are trusting in the temple of the Lord, the church, the church organization, the whatever, but their lifestyle is bizarre, totally immoral. That's going on right here in River City, people. In the Bible Belt. Moreover, they pour out drink offerings to other gods in order to provoke me to anger. But am I the one they are provoking, declares the Lord? Are they not vexing themselves to their own shame? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, my anger and my wrath is about to be poured out on this place, on man and beast, on the trees of the field and on the fruit of the land, and it will burn and not be quenched. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, add your burnt offerings to your sacrifices and eat the meat. For on the day that I brought your fathers out of the land of Egypt, I did not speak to them, nor did I command them concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But I explicitly commanded them, obey my voice, and I will be your God, a God to you. And you will be my people. Walk in all your ways that I command you, that it may go well with you. So God isn't really interested in rules and regulations. He's interested in a relationship with you. And we get caught up in the things of church, whatever that might be. And you know what? We're meeting in a home, and that's okay. But you can develop certain things, no matter how big or how small your group is. You can, well, we do this on at this time, and we get comfortable with, you know, a form, and we lose sight of the God of the form. I'm not condemning a form, at least not in this discussion. I have opinions regarding that. But it's trusting in any form rather than in the God who instructed us to do things a certain way. He wasn't interested. He's saying right here, you know, when I brought you out of Egypt, I didn't do that so that you could offer sacrifices in the wilderness. I did it because I wanted you to obey my voice, and then I would be your God and you would be my people. I wanted you to walk in the ways that I commanded you because it would go well for you. You know, we've had many discussions about food rules and regulations and things of the Torah. And the thing that always gets to me is that somehow there's this underlying attitude that God put a bunch of rules and regulations out there so that people would have to jump through hoops. I've always maintained that all the instruction in the Old Testament, in the Torah of God, was not to make life hard for people. It was to make life healthy for them. It was to things that eat this, don't eat that. Why? Well, this is good for you, that's not. You know? Live this way because it'll make you have a good and healthy lifestyle. Not because he was trying to be mean, you know, not because he was trying to be restrictive, but because he knew what was actually good for you. And that's what he's saying right here. Obey my voice, and I will be your God, a God to you, and you will be my people. Walk in all the ways that I command you, that it may go well with you. But they did not listen or pay attention. Instead, they followed their own counsel in the stubbornness of their evil heart. They have gone backward and not forward. From the day your fathers left the land of Egypt until today, although I sent to you all my servants, the prophets, daily and persistently, they did not listen to me or pay attention. Rather, they stiffened their necks, doing more evil than their fathers. When you tell them these things, they will not listen to you. When you call to them, they will not answer you. So you will say to them, this nation has not obeyed the voice of the Lord their God or received correction. Truth has perished and is cut off from their mouth. Cut off your hair and throw it away and take up a lamentation on the barren hill. For the Lord has spurned and cast off the generation of his wrath. Wow, that's a hard word, huh? Hey, by the way, Jeremiah, I'm giving you this word. Go give it to these people and they're not going to listen to you. So, if we would endeavor to be men and women of God in these days, often we're going to have things to say that are not going to be popular. Right? They may become not popular things to people that are very dear to us, but that doesn't mean you're not going to say them, as God requires of you. Chapter 7, verse 30. The children of Judah have done what is evil in my sight. It's a declaration of the Lord. They have set their detestable things in the house that bears my name to defile it. They built the high places in Topheth and the valley of Ben-Hinnom to burn their sons and daughters in the fire, which I did not command, nor did it even enter my mind. Therefore, the days are soon coming, declares the Lord, when it will no longer be called Topheth, nor the valley of Ben-Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. For they will bury in Topheth until there is no room. The carcasses of this people will be food for the birds of the sky and for the beasts of the earth, and no one will frighten them away. Then I will bring an end from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem to the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, for the land will be desolate. So, we're going to be continuing through Jeremiah, and there's going to be lots and lots and lots of rebukes. There's wonderful gems as we go through, but there's going to be a lot of rebuke. And I would just ask you to examine in your own hearts and in your own relationships with people that are walking with the Lord that you know. And I'd ask you to consider how God would have you to live and what he would have you to say. Because the church is filled with abominable things. I've lost more than one relationship with people discussing things like Christmas and Easter. But that stuff approaches. Ishtar was the queen of heaven. She's an abomination. And that's the root of Easter. That's how you pronounce Ishtar, as Easter. And the same thing with Christmas and Halloween and every single holiday that the church celebrates is heathen in its nature. And I believe the time of where God is willing to just smile at those things is coming to a close. And if you believe that also, you may find yourself in some difficult conversations with people in the years to come. Because I think that judgment is beginning in the house of God. And if you watch the news and you see all these radical Muslims as opposed to whatever the other ones are, the other ones aren't Muslims, that's what they are. Just like radical Christians and then the other ones aren't Christians. That's what it's really going to come down to. And they're going to persecute us, those of us who would actually adhere to what the scripture says. And it's going to start with the people who say they call on the name of the Lord, because we're going to be considered not tolerant and we're going to be a problem. And so I think we'll stop there, because I can only take small portions of this myself. I love it. It's wonderful. But it's sad to know that a lot of it's going to be repeated. Okay? There you have it.